This is Nursing in America. Each week, we speak with incredible nurses from all over the world who have taken the leap to start a new life in the United States. If you're thinking about doing the same, then this is the place you'll find all the insider knowledge and inspirational success stories to realize your own American dream.
We're going to be talking about getting a driver's license. We're going to be talking about how to buy a car in the United States. We're going to be talking about car loans. We're going to be talking about auto insurance, car registration, smog tests, lots and lots of tips and advice on transportation in the United States. And we are really excited to have this expert panel who are going to be taking us through everything that you need to know about this topic. Let's get started, panel. First of all, I think it would be great if you each want to maybe give us a little bit of a background and introduction. Let's start with Nicole. Ladies first.
Thank you. I am so happy to be here. My name is Nicole Dean. I work as a business relations officer at Advantial. So I do work with a lot of companies that have nurses come over and help them get set up with different products like auto loans and credit card products. So I'm very happy to be here and I'm excited to answer some questions today.
Thank you, Nicole. We're excited to have you here. Advantial is one of the Kinetics USA's prestigious partners, one of the resources that we provide to nurses when they arrive in the United States to help getting car loans, as well as other services that they provide. James, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is James Krolder. I'm the director of International Auto Source. International Auto Source has been helping the nursing community relocating to the U.S. for over 15 years, helping them with purchasing a vehicle, financing, helping them get their driver's license, vehicle registration, auto insurance, the whole kit and caboodle of buying a vehicle. And we've learned a lot of things together about buying cars in the United States. And we're happy to see all of you candidates that are moving here, and we're excited to help you.
Thank you, James. And International Auto Source is another very prestigious partner of Kinetics USA. And they have also helped thousands of nurses get not just nurses, but many expats getting a car in the United States, because it's really difficult without credit. And we look forward to James sharing a lot of tips and advice and information for those of you who are still around the world waiting to come to the United States, or if you've already arrived here. And last not least, we have Nurse Juan. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Nurse Juan. I'm a YouTube content creator focusing on immigrants coming to the United States. Like, I'm sharing some of the important things you can do when you arrive here, mostly based on my experience. And also, I'm one of the admins of Lefora for Nurses.
Thank you, Nurse Juan. For many nurses coming to the United States, they think, well, the end result is arriving, and then everything is just kind of easy. Well, that's not 100% correct. So if we look at our success path, which is on the Kinetics USA website, you'll see that step number 7 is enjoy and prosper. But the journey to getting a car is not that easy. And I'd like to start off with Nurse Juan, and maybe you can share with us a little bit about your experience of where you live in the United States, and when you came here, what transportation was like in the area where you were deployed, and how you were able to navigate that.
Okay. I'm from Kentucky, the state of Kentucky, and I was deployed in eastern part of Kentucky. When I arrived here, that's one of the most difficult part for me, because there was no public transportation. Throughout Kentucky, for the entire state, I think there's only 2 or 3 like cities that has a public transportation, and that's Louisville and Lexington. Forget the name of the other one. So most of the other counties or other places in Kentucky, there's no public transportation. So I had to get by through having connections with some of our Filipino colleagues who went ahead of us. So they were really a big help for us. But if they weren't there, we will definitely have had a hard time. Even with having them around, we also still had a hard time, because it was really hard to get them to help us, because they also have their own like work and lifestyle. So it's not easy to be born in a, to be in a place wherein there's no public transportation.
Yeah. I think Nurse One, this is that, you know, that's why this is such an important show, because for many nurses, they go through many struggles, you know, the NCLEX, the IELTS, the visa screen, the immigration process that can take forever. And then they think, okay, I'm going to arrive here and everything's going to be great. And actually, there's a lot of obstacles that occur, and that you might be deployed in a place like Nurse One was, where there isn't any public transportation, isn't maybe Uber or Lyft or any really way to get to work or grocery stores or whatever you need. James, where you live, can you share with our viewers where you live and if there is public transportation in that location and if there's Uber, Lyft, those kinds of resources?
I live in Long Island in New York. It's actually Seaford, Long Island. So it's a lot of confusion or a lot of misconception about where I live is that I'm in New York. So you would assume that automatically we have public transportation. And that's really limited to New York City. So New York City has the subways and the trains and the cabs and buses and everything readily available to you. I'm a little bit more on the outskirts of New York City. So I'm out in maybe about 20, 30 minutes away. So in the suburbs, and very, very limited public transportation. It's, you need your own vehicle to just do the simple things like go to the grocery store or drive your children to school. It's not something that you can necessarily just jump on the train or jump on the subway or even call an Uber, unfortunately. Now, I am lucky enough to have Uber. It definitely comes in handy. Uber and Lyft is available. But really what it comes down to is the fact that it's having that own personal vehicle is definitely required in some areas like mine, especially because just that simple ride to go get groceries. You know, you're not able to really walk there. You're not able to take the train or take the bus. You need that public transportation to get there. So I'm in the outskirts of NYC.
Okay, so interesting there. So you seem to have more resources than what Nurse One experienced in his first position in the U.S., but still not like being in New York City, which is probably one of the only places in the United States that you really can get by without driving a car.
Correct. Nicole, it's one of the limited ones.
Yeah, exactly. Nicole, tell us a little bit about where you live, and is there public transportation? Is there Uber, Lyft? What resources are available there?
Absolutely. So I live in Houston, Texas, and there is quite a bit of public transportation in the city, just like with James. I live close to downtown. So, of course, there is, buses. We do have a light rail system going straight to the hospital network. But if you live in those suburbs, you definitely need a car because the buses are limited. You know, being in Texas, everything is very spread out. So the buses in the suburbs, very non-existent. We are lucky to have Uber and Lyft, which is very affordable because of the low demand and the amount, the high amount of drivers. So it is more affordable than some of the other cities that I've seen. However, if you don't live directly downtown or in the Heights area of Houston, Texas, you really do need a car. And it's going to be a little bit difficult to get around if you are in the suburbs. And if you do live in the city, it is way more expensive. So we see a lot of people moving to the suburbs and they do need their cars to get around.
Okay. I think it's interesting for many viewers that don't realize that different parts of the United States has a different kind of setup from transportation. So this kind of gives everybody an idea of the different areas and what you might expect. And I think the first tip for anyone who is coming to the United States is to do your research and your homework, and is to try and figure out if the place that you're going to has some resources, like where James or Nicole are, or has really no resources, like where Nurse One started off in, in a smaller town, more rural area in Kentucky. Okay, so you know that kind of gives us an idea of the different places and the importance probably of finding of getting a car in the United States. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Nurse One, just before we start talking about driver's licenses and buying a car and all of those things, can you tell us about your driving history?
Okay. For me, ever since I was young, like I think I started 16, I was already driving, but never four-wheel drive. I only own a motorcycle back home. So For the four-wheel drive, I think I only have like maybe maximum of 30 days experience for driving behind the wheels. So it was quite challenging for me when I arrived here because I really don't know much about driving. Like I haven't gone speed faster than 30 miles per hour back home. So I was really a novice back then. And taking the test for me for the license was also like a challenge for me because I never tried to do like the parallel parking or like three-point turn or those kind of things. So like most of the nurses, I'm same with you guys, I don't really have an experience. So it's really nice that when you arrive here, the traffic is not as bad, particularly in Kentucky. So it's easier for me to learn how to drive here. So most of my driving experience is based here in the United States.
We'll be back with the conversation in just a second. There's a wonderful opportunity for you. AMN Healthcare Network is currently recruiting registered nurses around the world to live and work in the United States. To learn more and apply, go to amnhealthcare.com/international. That's amnhealthcare.com/international. On with the show.
James, do you have any advice for somebody without driving skills, how to navigate or how to prepare?
Well, the first thing that we would suggest is that even though you don't have the driving skills or you haven't necessarily had the opportunity to learn how to drive, we would suggest that when you first arrive here in the United States, that you can get, and obviously it's going to be slightly self-fulfilling. International Auto Source does offer driving lessons. So wherever you are in your local, wherever you're relocating to, we can assist you with that. But I would suggest going for driving lessons. First, what you're going to do is have to go for a five-hour driving course where you kind of watch videos and learn about the rules of the road and what the signs mean. And then from there, you would take some lessons where you get the opportunity to kind of get behind the car get behind the wheel and have that opportunity to really drive and get the feel for the vehicle. And as Nurse Juan mentioned, you know, you won't necessarily be thrown right out into the highways or right out into traffic. You know, you'll start off very slow in a parking lot and then work your way out into the local streets where there's not many cars driving around. It's very similar to probably how Nicole and I learned. We went through a driving course, and then I'm assuming things are similar to New York and Texas.
Yes.
Probably just in that way, Nicole. But as far as the driving lessons where, you know, we watch videos, we learned, we saw our parents, you know, but at the same time, you know, when we started to first drive out there, it's very slow. We go just onto the normal, you know, regular streets, local streets, and then we work our way onto the highways and the expressways. I can remember just the very first day I had my license, I wanted to go drive out on the expressways. And my father was like, no, it doesn't work that way.
First things first.
Yeah, first thing, you learn how to drive locally. You know, you got your license, that's great, but you don't just go onto the highway. It's not just something you just do. You know, it's a work in progress, and you take your time and you learn and you do it based on how you feel comfortable driving.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. I'm just thinking as you're speaking about my own experience, I was an immigrant as well. I came from South Africa 22 years ago. And I remember the first time that I drove on a freeway. And I mean, I'd been driving for years when I came here, although it was on the other side of the road. I cried like a baby. I was so scared and so nervous in the California 6-lane highways. It was terrifying.
Well, that's very intimidating. I mean, I can tell you that the numerous times that I visited the Philippines, when I sat passenger, I cried like a baby.
That is true.
Okay,
James, I can relate.
And then, holding a Bible or a cross.
Yeah, you can drive in the Philippines. You can drive in the United States.
That is for sure. And I can attest to it, having been driven around today in the traffic of Manila, it was quite an experience.
It's intense.
Yeah, exactly. And Nurse Juan, can you tell us a little bit about when you first drove on an interstate, on a highway?
For us, it wasn't that bad because, like I said, Kentucky is quite easy to drive through. The interstate here has like maybe 3 roads, but it's not really that traffic. So it was great. I was with one of my colleagues who came here, and that's the first time I was able to drive like 90 miles per hour in my entire life. So it was kind of nice. Like I got to get the Need for Speed, like what he wanted to do when he had his license. So it was easy, But when I went to Chicago, that's where I felt like I got more nervous, because I really felt like it's quite different. The interstate in Chicago and in Kentucky is really, really much different. So it was hard for me to drive then, and it was nerve-wracking.
Yeah. It's definitely, as James said, something where you've got to kind of go slow, get your confidence, and then, you know, you'll get better and better in time.
Absolutely.
And is it difficult to get a license in the United States? Nurse One, can you talk a little bit about your experience of getting a license?
Mm-hmm. I think it really depends on the state and the county where you're getting your license. Like for me, it was easy enough because basically you just need to take a test, a written test. So you have to study for that. And PDF or the manual for the test, you can download from any of the DMV websites. Then for the test, it's quite easy because they will give you a map of what to do and how to practice, so you can prepare ahead. The only thing that usually burdens us for new immigrants is the requirements. Number one, they really need you to have your social security number. Then they need you to have like a permanent address. You can't use the hotel address. So they normally require that. Then other than that, I think that's it. Luckily for me, I only had to take the written test. And after that, I don't have to take the driving test anymore. And that's, I think that within our county or within Kentucky only. It's because I have my LTO or my Philippine license and international driver's license. Correct. And I think visa, my permanent resident visa has something to do with it, because I have a colleague who was here like 2 months ahead of us. She had a working visa. So for her, she still was like required to take the driving test. So it was easier for me.
Yeah. And that's where it can be different state by state.
Right.
James, do you have any information to share about international driver's licenses and how that might help or not help?
So the best thing about the United States is that it's 50 states and 50 different countries, and then 50 different, and then thousands of different counties, to Nurse Juan's point. Nurse Juan, that was a great answer. You can actually, we can put you on IAS or Twitter for that answer. It's very true. It all goes down to the local county and the local requirement. And every state is different. Just as a quick example, the state of Florida, you require to have your social security number and an international driver's license, and you can apply for a driver's license. In the state of New York, you have to have 6 points of identification, which includes your United States visa, includes your potentially your passport, an employee ID card, a checking account with your name on it, which is confirming your permanent address, as Nurse Juan mentioned. So every state has different rules, but every state does look for the international driver's license. That will help speed up the process. Now, some states, and again, it really goes down to the local level, some states will allow you to not have to take the driver's test, to the actual driving, physical driving test, if you have a driver's license from your home country and an international driver's license, as Nurse Juan mentioned.
Okay.
But most states will require you to take, well, all states, actually, I'm sorry, all states will require you to take the written test. And then most states will require you to take the road test. And that's where it's, you know, helpful for you to have those driving lessons. The driving lessons, they not only will they help you learn the rules of the road, learn to parallel park, which I can promise you parallel parking. I did on my road test almost 28 years ago. And I probably would never parallel park again. But I just had to do that one time to pass the test. So they'll help you with all of those things. But in addition, they'll provide the car for you to be able to take the road test at that time, should there be any issues with you not having any transportation for that. Going back to the original point, the international driver's license is something I would always suggest obtaining before you leave your home country, which is basically just a translated version of your home country driver's license.
How large are the car loans? And do you have a cap for international nurses?
Sure. So with Advantial, going back to that international driver's license, I do want to add on James' point, an international driver's license will also help you in the loan process with Advantial. We recognize the international driver's license as a driver's license, so you're awesome. Able to get that loan, so I will also vouch for that. Please get one before you come. But As far as the auto loan goes with Advantual, we do have a $30,000 cap. We just increased it because of the climate of today's environment. It's crazy out there with car prices and the competition. So it is $30,000. We suggest doing as much research as you can to get the best deal, because a lot of the cars will be inflated that we've seen.
Yeah, and that's really probably due, Nicole, to the prices that, you know, the limited inventory in the United States, the prices have just kind of, you know, the inflation that we see in the U.S., almost 30% of that is going to vehicles, whether new or used. Right. So I can understand where you're coming from with that, because it's a challenging time with the vehicles.
Absolutely. Yeah,
definitely. Can you maybe share a little bit why getting a car loan is so important, just as how it relates to credit?
Yes. So, you know, being with a financial institution like Advantual, credit in the U.S. is super important. Every decision that is made as far as large purchases, getting an apartment later on, your credit is looked at. So getting a car loan versus a lease, that loan will go towards building your credit once you get your Social Security number. The benefits of Advantual is we do not require a Social Security number to get that car loan, which is amazing. It is a wonderful product or service that we offer. However, once you get that Social Security number and you update it with us, you start building credit. And that credit is so important to start building. And I highly recommend you get your Social Security number as fast as you can and then update us as well. So Advantual, going back a little bit, we do offer our Inbound USA program. It is special to our select employer groups like Kinetics. And we offer this service of getting, you know, car loans to people newly arriving in the U.S. and as easy as possible without that Social Security number, which can cause a lot of headaches with a lot of other providers as well.
Yeah. I always thank you, Nicole. Really important information shared. I often tell the story of when I came to the United States and went with my husband and two little kids to buy a car. The salesman was very excited, and then he went back and checked our credit, came back with a very, like, long face, not very happy with us. He said, "You have no credit." And we were like, "What is that?" We didn't even know as immigrants that, you know, credit existed. So if you don't know what credit is, please check out some of the shows that we've done on Onwards and Upwards. They are on our social media, on our website, and we'll explain what credit is and how to build your credit.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Nursing in America. Part 2 will be available next week, so make sure you hit the follow button and come back to join us then. If you enjoyed the episode, please help us and leave a review. AMN Healthcare International is currently recruiting registered nurses around the world to live and work in the United States. We offer both direct hire and staff recruitment, giving you more options and flexibility to begin your American dream. To learn more and apply, go to amnhealthcare.com/international. There's also a link in the description. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for more incredible conversations.